The Space Shuttle Atlantis is scheduled to launch this morning as the final flight of the U.S. Space Shuttle program. Among those in attendance for this final mission is former NASA astronaut Colonel Jim Halsall. Halsall, a native of West Monroe, flew in 5 missions of the shuttle program, serving as commander for 2 of those. As the Space Shuttle era comes to a close, Colonel Halsall joins me by phone with thoughts of his experience in the program and what lies ahead for NASA. Colonel Halsall, thank you for your time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for your interest in the space program.
As we near the final launch of the Space Shuttle program, what are your feelings as this chapter of the U.S. space program comes to a close?
Well, certainly knowing that this is the last time that we'll see that space shuttle rocket into space, it's also probably the last time this whole group of people, probably 10,000 or so who are closely associated with the program, will gather down at the Kennedy Space Center to work together to make those launches happen. Having seen so many friends go up and do such great things like build the International Space Station, like first put the Hubble Space Telescope into orbit, those kinds of things, stories go on, and all those feelings jumble together in a way that it's a bittersweet thing to see the shuttle end.
You commanded the shuttle Atlantis, which awaits this last liftoff, back in 2000. The mission involved work with the International Space Station. Your most memorable flight?
One of two. Certainly the mission you're referring to, STS-101, was memorable because we were one of the first supply missions to the very, very then small International Space Station. So I got to be there at the very beginning of it. That makes that a memorable flight. I guess I'd say the other memorable flight was my second mission. I was the pilot, again, on Atlantis. This was back in 1995 when we went to the Russian space station, Mir. There were Russians, 2 Russian cosmonauts and a German cosmonaut on board there to welcome us as we docked and opened the hatch. And there was such a feeling of camaraderie. The friendship is probably what you remember the most.
Well, Colonel Halsall, you also had missions aboard Columbia, which was tragically lost in 2003. You were called on to lead the return to flight planning team following that disaster. When you consider the program lost a shuttle and launch with Challenger and reentry with Columbia, in what area did those events have the largest impact upon NASA?
Well, the unexpected loss of a close friend or family member always has a big impact on you personally and on the people around you. And that's the best analogy I can give you for the loss of Challenger. And then, of course, when we lost Columbia on entry, it makes the agency come together and work extremely hard day and night to find out what happened. There's a strong sense of we owe it to the crew that has perished to completely understand what went wrong. So you go through that process, find the answers to the questions, and then you begin the work of developing the design changes to the hardware so that it can't happen again.
When you look at the impact, and you mentioned inspection and clearance of the shuttles to go back into space, did it also lend to the process of future design for future spacecraft?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the outcomes of the Columbia accident report was a somewhat scathing review of NASA's way of doing business. They pointed out the inappropriate nature of ever considering the space shuttle as operational, as NASA had come to feel about the shuttle, because we had flown so many flights successfully. It's always a test vehicle because it's always so complex and you can never know everything that can go wrong. But we're still nowhere where you want to be to stand up a commercial-oriented and safe and reliable to and from transportation to low Earth orbit. So to do that, let's change the design. Let's put the crew on the top with a launch abort system, a tractor system that can pull the capsule with the crew away from an exploding vehicle like we did back in the Apollo days. And then build a long, skinny rocket that's designed to have large, powerful, probably single motors. So that's what you see in some of the versions of Ares 1 or the Liberty launch vehicle or some of the other rockets that other companies are now offering.
Since you left NASA some 5 years ago, the country's economic picture has led to questions and debate over the future of space travel. Where do you see the program headed?
Well, I've been encouraged by the fact that despite the difficult economic times, Congress has been unwavering in their support for a human spaceflight program. This year's authorization and appropriations bill, they clearly direct NASA to move out smartly on simultaneously allowing commercial spaceflight to develop capability to fly people to and from the International Space Station. Congress would also has directed NASA to build a launch system, a heavy launch vehicle that can launch either cargo or, if necessary and appropriate, the new crew vehicle that Lockheed Martin is building for NASA. They direct us to do this in a hurry by using elements of the shuttle architecture, which already exists. That might be the external fuel tank or the solid rocket boosters. And let's get flying as soon as possible. I'm hopeful that NASA will take the direction of Congress and move out smartly here in the next few months to initiate all those activities.
Well, we certainly thank you for your insight and as well your work with the space program, especially being here from the Monroe, West Monroe area. Colonel Hossel, all the best and best of luck to the crew going up in their launch.
Absolutely. Thanks for everybody's interest there in Louisiana for the space program and support for what's coming next.